Look, I know you got to be frustrated. I know. I can taste it.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yeah. Comes here from the Carter Silver Studio. Oh, man. Welcome to our top stories this hour. It's a very busy news hour that we have ahead for you. And I really do want to hear from you. Is what's going on with Ukraine near the top of your list of most important things in life? Because everybody that I'm talking to talks about grocery prices, gas prices, baby formula shortages, influx of illegals, rampant crime throughout our region, rampant overdoses throughout our nation. 107,000 young Americans died of drug overdoses in 2021, an all-time record. Joe Biden and Jay Inslee's belief that America should not have a southern border is killing the equivalent of a 9/11 number of people every 10 days in America. It's absolutely amazing what's happening in our country. So they're trying to pull some nonsense out of the fire here before the midterms. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So with the SCOTUS leak a week ago, Jay Inslee, he showed what he's all about. Remember last summer, Jay Inslee tried to get a new law in Washington. If a politician lies about election results, that should be a crime and he should go to jail. So when the SCOTUS ruling came out, Jay Inslee decided to lie about election results. And he said the only reason SCOTUS ruled this way is because that bad orange man who really wasn't elected in 2016 got to appoint justices.
Well, we got here pretty simply in that a person seized control of the White House. Fortunately, he was unsuccessful in his coup attempt.
Wait, I thought it should be illegal for politicians to lie about election results. Jay Inslee told me that. And then here's Jay Inslee. It's not that Trump won fair and square in 2000. He seized control. Jay Inslee, prove how much you want that law that you proposed and put yourself in handcuffs and march yourself off to Walla Walla, the city so nice they named it twice. Why haven't you done that, Jay? Why haven't you marched off to Monroe? Get yourself in the pen, you know, the old pokey. Were you lying about you wanting politicians to be prosecuted for lying about election results? Because that's like a double lie, and I got to figure out what truth is then. And then you have the Republicans. Mitch McConnell, yesterday, as they voted $40 billion to support the Ukrainian border. We can't support the U.S.-Mexico border. We shouldn't have a border between U.S. and Mexico. But Ukraine needs to have a border. So we're going to give them $40 billion to enforce their border against the Russians. Their border matters. Our border does not. And Mitch McConnell said something just crazy.
I think we all agree the most important thing going on in the world right now is the war in Ukraine. I had a chance to call the president last week.
Okay, the war in Ukraine is the most important thing going on in the world right now. No, I think if you talk to most of my listeners, Mitch, Mr. Republican, minority leader, no, they care about gas prices, food prices. They want to be able to give their babies formula, especially if their babies have allergies and can't ingest other types of food. They're worried about losing their jobs to all the illegals who are coming into the country. They're losing their lives to all the drugs and the gangs that are fighting over the drugs and murdering people because of the drugs. I don't think Ukraine is at the top of my listeners' priority list, maybe for some, but certainly not for most. I want to talk about all this stuff. Jay Inslee, the games he's playing, the Republicans are shipping money over to Ukraine when we can't even take care of our own people right now. A good friend of our radio show, he's running for Congress. I want to get his thoughts on all of this. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, as we've been talking about throughout the afternoon, the Democrats and their allies in the media have made it very clear that with everything lined up against their party and the media's preferred party for the midterms coming up this November, they have now figured that this abortion leak from the Supreme Court is their life raft. But there are a lot of other really interesting things going on. And I want to welcome back to the show a good friend of our radio show, Joe Kent. He is running for Congress in Southwest Washington, Army Ranger and a Gold Star husband. Joe Kent joins us once again here in the Dory Monson Show. Joe, always good to talk to you, sir.
Yeah, always great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
I heard something last night that just blew my mind, Joe, because I think I have a pretty good finger on the pulse of my listeners and what's going on here in Western Washington. They're worried about crime. They're worried about drugs and the overdoses that are killing people by the thousands in our state because fentanyl is just streaming into America and straight up I-5 to our state. They're worried about inflation, gas prices, grocery prices. And I heard Mitch McConnell yesterday say that the single most important issue in the world right now is what's happening in Ukraine. And while I understand that Ukraine is a serious issue, I don't think it's anywhere near the top of my listeners' priority list. Now, I wanted to get your take on all of this as a congressional candidate in Mitch McConnell's party.
Yeah, I mean, I don't consider myself a member of Mitch McConnell's party. I am part of the America First movement. And I think two nights ago with the bill that passed through the House, the $40 billion going to Ukraine, I think we really saw who is in touch with the needs of the American people. There was only 57 Republicans, not one Democrat, but 57 Republicans, and they are very, I would say, America First, MAGA or ultra MAGA, as Biden says, type of Republicans that voted it, that voted and said that this $40 billion going to Ukraine is ridiculous. It's fiscally horrible policy, but also we have real crisis facing all of our citizens right now here in America, and we need to take care of that first. I think it's really disgraceful. I was just watching before I came on with you that there's only one senator right now, and of course that's Rand Paul, that's standing up and saying, hey, we should at least discuss this $40 billion aid package. The rest of the Senate, the uniparty, is in lockstep. And so that's what I really think that we're seeing right now. There is a uniparty with so many Republicans that are part of it, and then there is the America First movement. And that's it, because the Democrats, lock, stock, and barrel, they are all 100% part of the uniparty, the pro-war party.
Yeah, and I guess what's disturbing is what you just identified, that so many Republicans are for this as well, because what they're talking about is providing more American dollars to secure the Ukrainian border than we're spending to secure the United States border. And that is, I mean, it's not just madness, Joe. It's almost like we're on some kind of a suicide pact as a nation right now.
You said suicide. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, it is a suicide mission. Like, what sane, rational country would say that with all the problems that we have right now, a wide open southern border, mothers frantically searching for baby formula for their children, and this rampant inflation, what sane country would say, hey, let's just grab $40 billion that we don't have and send it overseas, and not just overseas, but overseas to potentially get us into a conflict with nuclear-armed Russia. It's just absolute madness, and I think suicidal is a perfect way to put it.
Well, and when you have Mitch McConnell say that Ukraine is the most important issue, how do these guys get that far out of touch, Joe? Because I guarantee you, if I polled my listeners, a tiny, tiny percentage would say that Ukraine is the number one issue in the front of mind for them. So how do these politicians get so far out of step with the people they're elected to represent?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really basic. Some of these folks, especially like Mitch McConnell, has been a senator. I'm 42 years old. He's been a senator probably since I was in high school. And then same thing, these career politicians, they go to Washington, D.C., and I think even the ones that have the best intentions, they then succumb to the swamp because it costs a lot of money to run for an election, I can tell you firsthand. And when they get to Washington, D.C., these special interests come and say, hey, you don't need to worry about your fundraising as long as maybe you hear our position on how to vote on this bill or that bill. And really, the establishment, they always want to vote for these massive foreign aid packages because that's one of the easiest ways that the D.C. class has for money laundering, essentially. They send the money overseas, and then through charities and special interest groups, it comes back into the Beltway and into the reelection coffers of the Uniparty. So I think if we leave people in Washington, D.C. for decades on end, they grow distant from their people, but also they don't need to go back to their people and make the case as to why they should continue to support them because they get the support they need from the Beltway establishment. And again, it's much easier for our ruling class to go and send foreign aid places and even to go start wars than it is to actually put our people first because they can get a lot of money from the defense industry, from the non-governmental organization industrial complex industry that's very much alive and well, especially in places like Ukraine.
You've been so consistent from the first time you and I ever talked about how you define yourself as an America First candidate. I'll be very interested to see what kind of coattails that has across the country because I don't know if you're aware of this. Robert Malone, Dr. Robert Malone, one of the inventors of the mRNA vaccine, he's identified our governor, Jay Inslee, as one of the most dangerous people in the United States because Jay Inslee is a globalist. Jay Inslee has given himself emergency powers so that he is not beholden to our state constitution, our federal constitution. He's quite clearly a globalist. And with that, he doesn't believe in our southern border. He's made Washington a sanctuary state. This is what guys like you, America First people, are going to be up against, not just in your congressional races, but this is the type of person we have running Washington State right now.
Yeah, it is. And having really strong leadership to go and push back against Jay Inslee, I think, is absolutely essential. I think maybe if you live in a red state, you can kind of have some mediocre Republicans. But if we're going to have Republicans here in Washington State, they need to be bold. They need to be America First. And they need to be willing to take on guys like Jay Inslee. I mean, Inslee is saying that people like me who say there was issues of the last election, that we shouldn't be allowed even on the ballot. So he is a total authoritarian. We've seen that over the last 2 years. And so we have to be willing to go call him, not just call him out, but being able to go after some of his funding that he received from the federal government. I think that's Congress controls the purse strings. That's something we really need to do. There's no reason why federal funding is going to support, you know, Seattle when Seattle won't enforce any basic law and order and they'll give sanctuary to not just illegal immigrants, but to Antifa. I feel the same way about Portland. I think we have to start playing hardball with a lot of these activist governors, these activist DAs, and this entire, I think, globalist cabal that's trying to take over our country.
Well, what's interesting is Jay Inslee, just a few days ago, he was calling into question elections that he has disagreed with. So even by his own standards, he would throw himself in jail if he actually lived up to his own standards. But he believes that all that should just be a one-way street, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm sure Jay Inslee, his life didn't change at all under the COVID restrictions. But if you were a small business or if you were a state worker, your life was either your business was completely and totally destroyed. And then as a state worker, you were told to take the jab exactly when Inslee told you to take the jab or you lost your job. I mean, really, the thing is, I think nowadays people think of Republicans and Democrats as having these different views. And that's still true to a certain extent. But the left has gone so knee deep into authoritarianism that Inslee really the only thing I think that guys like him respect is power. When they get power, they use it. And I hate to look at these terms, but when we take back power, we have to start using power structures and power against them to regain some of our sovereignty. We have to start treating this like it's a war because the left has been at war with us for so long.
Yeah. Well, and the thing specifically that I was referring to was when that SCOTUS leak happened and Jay Inslee said that the only reason the Supreme Court's doing this is because the man who assumed the White House in 2016. So Jay Inslee says it should be illegal to question election results, but he's the one who doesn't recognize the 2016 election, which gives you an idea of the consistency of this man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we had 4 years of everybody telling us that, you know, it was a plot by Vladimir Putin to get Trump into the White House. But then suddenly when there's actual evidence of real election fraud, we can't talk about that. Otherwise, we're, you know, perpetrating the big lie and we'll be kicked off every social media platform. So, I mean, the hypocrisy, I think at this point, the hypocrisy is designed to make us mad and for us to either become so mad that we do something or say something that allows them to turn the national security state against us, or really just to demotivate and demoralize the right so that people stop voting and they stop participating in the process, because then the left doesn't have to come and steal elections if they just, you know, convince some small percentage of the right that it's all pointless and it's all hopeless and they control all the power.
Okay, last thing. So on the Supreme Court leak, it's very predictable. We see what's happening. The Democrats are getting slaughtered on issues of illegals coming into the country, inflation, the brink of nuclear war, gas prices, grocery prices, baby formula shortages. They're getting slaughtered in everything they are touching. They needed a life ring. And so somebody violates Supreme Court protocol and tries to rally the entire party around this one issue. The media is more than being compliant in trying to help with all of this. How's this going to affect guys like you and races like yours in Washington 3rd?
You know, honestly, I mean, I'm 100% pro-life, and I pray that Roe versus Wade is overturned, you know, immediately. But I really think this SCOTUS leak wasn't a leak. It was an operation that, like everything you laid out, they know that all their other narratives are collapsing, and the American people are seeing how horrible these people govern. And they're seeing that, hey, are these guys trying to intentionally destroy our country? That's a very legitimate question that people are asking. And so now they're trying to use this divisive wedge issue of abortion to distract from all their failings. I don't think it's going to work. I mean, they attempted to use COVID this way until between the combination of Omicron not causing the winter of death and destruction, and then something like Dr. Malone getting on Joe Rogan's podcast really just destroyed the COVID narrative. And then all of a sudden, everything was all in on Ukraine. And I think, like we talked about earlier, people just aren't that they know that Ukraine is not in our vital national security interest, regardless of how tragic the actual circumstances are. And so now they're trying to shift gears to abortion. I frankly don't think it's going to work. You really can't hide from the American people the fact that there's bare shelves. We don't have formula for babies, that our borders being overrun, fentanyl is infesting our community, the inflation hurts people on a daily basis. So I, despite their tricks, and they're willing to burn the country to try. I mean, we've already seen the protesters show up at the doorsteps of Supreme Court justices, and I fear that the Democrats will reactivate Antifa and BLM and organizations like that, like we saw that firebomb the pro-life clinic there in Wisconsin. So, I mean, I think they're willing to try almost anything, but I think it's not going to work. I think that they've really overplayed their hand.
It's going to be interesting to watch. That's for darn sure. Joe, it's always great talking with you. I appreciate you jumping on with me this afternoon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You betcha. All right, Joe Kent running in Washington's 3rd District against fellow Republican Jamie Herrera Butler, but the similarities end there. And I just find it shocking how out of touch both parties are. When Mitch McConnell says Ukraine's the most important issue on earth, no, not if you're having trouble finding formula for your baby, and not if you cannot put gas in the tank so you can get to work, and not if you can't buy groceries to feed your family. I find it disgusting that the United States, both parties, has decided to spend $40 billion on Ukraine when we've got so many problems here at home. It's disgusting. All right, and that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you. And then, did I hear this is one of the coldest May days ever? I thought global warming was going to make our planet boil within 9 years. Does that mean I could take off my swimsuit finally? Okay, much more to come. Cover it all here on the Dory Monson Show. Okay, Aaron, what's going on here, man?
What's up?
Okay, did I just hear you close out your newscast by saying at 2:35 on May 12th that it's 49 degrees out right now?
That's what I'm seeing.
49 degrees. I'm looking at a national weather map. Do you realize that throughout the Midwest and all the way into Appalachia and into Florida and into New England, it's in the 80s and 90s everywhere nationally?
It looks so nice. I know. I see 91 near, like, Minneapolis. Kind of
wild. I was watching a ball game last night. I think it was in Detroit or someplace. It was 91 degrees at game time.
Yeah.
It's 49 degrees here right now.
What the heck?
I hope this means we have another 90 degree October. You know?
Yeah.
Man, I know it's got to bounce. I don't know if you like talking about personal stuff like this, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Is your baby on formula at all?
She's breast milk. Just breast milk.
Okay.
Yep.
See, my girls, we used formula. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we had at one point. For one day, we have two babies the same age because our two youngest are 364 days apart. So we had two babies on formula at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know what in the world my wife and I mean, we'd be basket cases if this had happened when our girls were little.
Yeah, I hear you. My firstborn daughter, she did not latch, and she just didn't take to the breast milk. So,
yeah,
we used formula for the first one, and we had to use a hypoallergenic formula for her, which was like, oh my God. I think it was like $40-$50 to one of those cans.
Yeah.
And it lasted like a week. I don't even know how I did it. I didn't make a lot of money back then. I don't make a lot of money now. But
you're rolling in dough.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd be doing these days. I can only imagine how much parents are struggling now. Yeah.
Yeah. We would be just frantic. And
yeah.
And yeah, I've heard other people talk about what you were dealing with your first kid. And that is that they one of the only options is to feed them something that they know is mm-hmm. going to make the kid break out or get sick because the hypoallergenic's not available.
Yep, I know it.
Man, this is crazy. Okay.
It's scary.
But it's 49 degrees
49.
Here right
now. Well, actually, 49. Yeah, I'm seeing even cooler temperatures like elsewhere, too. If you go to like, you're in like the shoreline area, is that right, Dory?
I'm right in the next studio. I come into.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I come into Bonneville, Seattle every day.
I'm sorry.
Do not see me. I'm waving to you through the glass there.
Yeah. Hey. But if you were happening to be in that area, it's like 40.
I might go there later.
It's like 46 there. So
it's unbelievable.
I know. Yeah.
I don't want to talk about too much, but I don't want to share too much. But sometimes late at night, like most men, I enjoy going to the bathroom outside. When I let Buddy out at 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, men can do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And men should do that sort of thing. It's very it's very primordial. It's back to, when you see dogs mark their territory, I think that there's something in our DNA that makes us adult men want to mark our territory.
Okay.
That's why we're built the way we're built. Anyway, but I noticed last night at 1 a.m. that it was really cold out.
How'd you notice, Dory?
Shrinkage! That's how I
okay,
noticed.
Okay, all right. You just went for it. Okay.
Okay. I got to go now.
All right.
We definitely need some warm weather, though, and like some sun, because people are a mess right now. I got to say.
I know.
I need some sun. I think people's health is not good. People's mental health is not good. We need sun, please.
Has Jay Inslee come out with any statements this week about how this is all evidence of global cooling and how we don't have to worry about the polar ice caps melting? Because, again, last summer when we had some 105-degree days, Jay Inslee said, this is proof that the world is heating up and the polar ice caps are melting and we're all going to drown. Drown, I say.
When you see our highways buckling because the road simply expands and buckles because of heat, it's climate change. When we have a normal snowpack in April, but then we have a drought across the state, that's climate change. When fish and shellfish can't be harvested because they can't survive, they in a sense cook on the beach at low tide, that's climate change. There are not enough air conditioners in the world to save us from climate change.
How about there aren't enough heaters in the world to save us from the global cooling that engulfs your state, Governor? You know when all this started? All this crazy weather in Washington, Nicole? Can you trace back to when it started? Because I know exactly when it started. Jay Inslee started hauling those maggot-riddled apples across the state to eastern Washington, violating state law. I think that something happened with the maggot apples that have irreparably changed our atmosphere. It's my theory.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm gonna get my doctorate, and I'm gonna make that my thesis.
I know. I was really, you know, when we were in the midst of COVID, that, you know, 2020 and even 2021, when we were still pretty into COVID, it was very nice, right? It was very nice out, and we were all like, "Thank goodness, at least we have nice weather." But now I'm thinking about it, and I would have rather had some rain when we were stuck inside.
Right.
And have sun now when we could be doing things. But at the time, I was very grateful because we were able to walk, because you could only do things outdoors. And I don't know. I can't decide when we need it most. I think we need it now, though.
Yep. My theory is those Vashon Island maggot-infested apples release some dioxins when he took him into eastern Washington that penetrated our atmosphere
and
permanently damaged our state's climate.
They're probably all going to be rain damaged this year, so they'll have even more maggots.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, they're revolting.
Molting?
No. I'm saying that the apples are like, screw you. Right? I don't know. I'm trying to play with your dumb thing.
Wait. It wasn't dumb when I was playing with it. It's just dumb when you took it over. What do you mean my dumb thing? I was fine until you jumped in on it.
Apples are protesting, made it rain. I don't know.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Wow, that took up a whole segment.
I know. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
But, man, make sure we submit it for a...
a Murrow?
A Maury. See if we can get a Maury out of it. Okay, quick time out here. And then the continued degradation of President Joe Biden's mind is on full display. We've got the audio to prove it, and it's part of our awesome audio coming up next. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And this has been a terrific show today. Loving today's show. And we're not through. It's time to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
You're probably wondering what some of the new words are that our kids are learning. Because I know you like to be all hip and up on the latest vocabulary. So I found out last night about being xenogender. I know it's all very confusing to me, but it's a way. Xenogender is best explained, as this teacher does, by using cake to explain what xenogender individuals are all about.
Okay, I would describe xenogenders as a gender that cannot...
Oh, xeno. I thought it was xeno.
...typically be described with terms such as masculinity, femininity, neutrality, androgyny, things like that. It's more of not how you relate to a particular gendered experience, but more of how you relate to things. For example, cake gender. I know a few people who personally use this. It's typically described as them feeling light and fluffy or sweet and warm, and it's not something that you could typically describe with the terms masculine, feminine, androgynous, etc. Another example of cake gender would be if someone feels like they have different layers or flavors to their particular gender.
I think our children are in very, very good hands. Huh, if I were a gender cake, what cake would I be? You can text us at 888-973 Cairo. Joe Biden, he really is now into the advanced stages of losing it. He just decided yesterday to start yelling about some random stuff because of the food supply shortage or inflation or something.
Remember those long lines you'd see in a television? People lining up in all kinds of vehicles just to get a box of food in their trunk. How quickly we forget. People were hurting. And what did the MAGA crowd want to do? Forget it. Forget it.
God. People had boxes of food in their trunk, and the MAGA crowd just wanted to forget it. What's he talking about?
This is the United States of America. The idea that people would have to wait in line an hour, hour and a half to get a box of food in their trunk. It's just unbelievable.
And so then, if you weren't listening, I got Joe Biden on our show earlier this afternoon, and I asked him, Joe, why did you tell that story about boxes of food in trunks of cars?
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville, I needed a new heel for my shoe. So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time. They didn't have white onions because of the war.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate you coming on with us. And then our Congresswoman, Pamela Jayapal, she decided yesterday to do something very productive. She led a chant at the U.S. Capitol. I like the woman who keeps yelling, I can't hear you. She's standing right next to me.
My decision. My decision. My decision. My decision. My decision. I can't hear you. My decision.
I thought there'd be one person better at leading them in this chant.
I can't hear you.
Sergeant Carter leading the way in the U.S. Congress. I got a text message from somebody who said that I'm a bleephole because I deliberately mispronounced Pamela Jayapal's name. I think, sir, you owe me an apology because I used to mispronounce her name until I found out the correct way to pronounce it, and I just make sure I'll never screw it up again.
Pamela Jayapal.
Pamela Jayapal. You owe me an apology, sir. And you're the one who's been screwing up her name. I gotta get out of here. John Carroll and Sherry Elker show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. Have a fantastic freezing cold evening. God bless you in these crazy times.